Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, we all know the issues surrounding the use of screens by young people. Sanjeev Nichani is a consultant at Leicester Children's Hospital, and he's become convinced there is a direct connection between ADHD and screen use, what he calls acquired ADHD. Sanjeev, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
When did you first notice that perhaps there was the genetically inherited form of ADHD and perhaps one that was acquired?
So the fact that there's been a genetic form of ADHD has been known for decades, but it's following observations more recently, last 5 or so years that I've been making in my clinic, that led me to consider and wonder about whether screen addiction, or what I call the screendemic, is leading to a form of ADHD called acquired ADHD. And that is because of the symptoms I saw, particularly in teenagers: impulsivity, poor attention, poor sleep, inability to modulate their behavior like they used to, withdrawal, lack of interest in socializing and interacting. So a number of symptoms. And I started reading about it because I was so alarmed by what I'm seeing in my clinics. And that's when, in fact, research backed up what I was seeing in clinic, what is called either tech ADHD or acquired ADHD. In other words, there are studies showing that those teenagers who spent hours and hours on social media apps and thereby screens have changes in their brain very similar to not only primary ADHD, which many children can be born with, but also with other addictions like drug addiction, gambling addiction, etc. And pretty much the same applies for gaming, excessive gaming. So the emotional circuitry in the brain, which is responsible for how we all conduct ourselves in a moderate, civilized, proportioned manner, very quickly called, you know, the prefrontal cortex, the amygdala, the hippocampus. These are in the inherent emotional circuits of the brain. They're affected in primary ADHD, but also according to sophisticated MRI brain scans in those who spend hours and hours on social media screen apps and screens.
And if one were to hold up a scan of someone with primary ADHD against one with someone with acquired ADHD, would those changes look pretty much exactly the same,
or are there differences? Pretty much similar. No, pretty much similar. But of course, the addiction has to go on for a certain period of time before you see brain changes. But by then, sadly, the teenager's personality has changed. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if this is quite relevant to young adults and adults as well, for exactly the same reasons. We do know, and this is something you're going to hear more about in the future, that a condition called digital dementia is making its appearance. In other words, adults who spend their entire vocational hours on a screen by necessity, because that's their job, but also their leisure time on screens, are also at risk of early onset dementia. So there is plenty of evidence now that spending hours and hours on screens and apps, particularly social media apps, is leading to brain changes. Yes.
The acquired ADHD, is it reversible, or should it be treated in a different way?
Absolutely. Now, one has to be very careful. Those teenagers who have succumbed to what the big tech companies have, in my opinion, maliciously produced, i.e. addictive algorithms, need to be treated very carefully, and they need to be weaned off their addiction, because it's like any other addiction. And we need to be mindful of that. In other words, the duration. So if you look at what Ofcom says in the UK, about 30-odd% of teenagers spend 5 or 6 hours each and every day on social media apps. So therefore, the duration needs to be curtailed, and one can start, and this is what I say to parents, one can start by ensuring there are no social media apps and therefore screens at mealtime, when they're out in the car, when the family's out in the car, when they're out in the supermarket, when they're at restaurants. There should be no social media apps and screens. Also, curtailing an hour or two before bedtime, that's a really good start. So essentially, this needs to be weaned down slowly. It's not going to be easy. It is going to be difficult, because inherently, ultimately, you're dealing with addiction. And therefore, it needs to be done gently, slowly, and over a period of time. I've also created what's called a 5-a-day infographic, which is a guide for parents, children, and families as to how much screen time is appropriate, because screens are embedded in our lives. Social media is embedded in our lives. Social media, well, first of all, should be banned for under 16. There's no question about it. I applaud what Australia are doing and what Denmark are looking at and Malaysia are looking at, etc. But in terms of screen time, for a teenager, it should not be more than 2 hours on weekdays and not more than 2-3 hours on weekends. So it's about being proportionate again, because currently we've gone far too across the other way. And children and teenagers are living in a phone-based and a phone-controlled childhood rather than a play-based childhood that I certainly grew up in.
Yeah. The changes that happen to the brain, are they created by the dopamine hit from being on social media rather than the physical thing itself?
Yes, basically. One of the reasons. And essentially, dopamine is representative of a variety of chemicals in the brain, like serotonin, like cortisol, like endorphins, that once again are an integral part of how the brain emotional circuitry works. And all of these levels, and that's what is outlined in my book called Movement is Medicine. It outlines how all of these essential chemicals in the brain and hormone levels are significantly altered in screen addiction, social media app addiction. And in fact, how not only cutting down, but also incorporating regular, consistent physical activity can normalize the chemical changes, normalize the structural changes in the brain which happen due to excessive social media use and screen time.
Yeah. Is a little bit of social media, can any amount of social media be regarded as safe? Is it analogous to, well, 5 cigarettes a day is fine?
No, it isn't. So first of all, I have to reiterate, there's absolutely no justification for under 16s having social media apps. None whatsoever. Absolutely none. There are many ways of keeping in contact with friends, family, etc. So for under 16, social media apps must be banned. There are a malign influence in childhood and teenage years, and indeed in young adults. In fact, just today, there's another article talking about young adults are the loneliest people on the planet. That generation is the loneliest, and one thing underpinning the loneliness is this virtual connection or actual disconnection in the real world. So social media apps must be banned. Screens must be controlled as well. So a number of things need to happen. There needs to be a public awareness campaign. And I know this is very unlikely to happen, but the big tech companies must take responsibility or must be made to take responsibility for the content that they are dishing out to an unsuspecting world population.
Sanjeev, thank you very much for speaking with us today. Dr. Sanjeev Nachani is a consultant at Leicester Children's Hospital. Sanjeev, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.